Amelia Akers right here in Reliance, Tennessee. Glad to have you in here tonight. Got a great program continuing tonight with the theme, Set Your House in Order. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up on the second Passover. Glad to have you in attendance, so be that you could come and join us. Looking for a great time in the Spirit. We're just doing what comes natural. We were born to serve Yahweh. You know, a racehorse, let's say a Kentucky bred racehorse, he's not bred for any other reason except that he can run. You don't have to expect anything else out of him when he is born as a thoroughbred. He's going to run the race. So tonight we're talking about some people who believe that walking in the Spirit is something completely different than walking in obedience to the law of Yahweh. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as walking in disobedience to what the law. The Bible says if a man says that he loves Yahweh and he won't keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth ain't him. I'm going to repeat that now for emphasis here tonight as we are set for the defense of the gospel. If you say you love Yahweh, but you know, people that claim to love him but don't want to do what he says or what he wrote, they don't want to do anything in remembrance, they're always saying, oh, Pastor Buddy, haven't you heard? That's under the law. We don't do that no more. Well, listen to this one. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, Romans 8 and 1. Walking according to the Spirit. Whatever it means to walk according to the Spirit, it sure sounds to me like it's wonderful that there is no condemnation to them as long as they are in the Spirit. Well, if you walk outside the Spirit and you don't have the abidance of the Holy Ghost within you, then you've not passed from death unto life. But because that you have fell from grace. Now, if you fell from grace, you don't understand the principle of faith without works is dead. A lot of people say, oh, we don't do that no more. Yeah, Pastor Buddy, we know they used to do it that way, but my pastor told me we don't do that no more. Don't do what? Actually, a person that claims he's got nothing to do but be filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have works. If you feel with the Spirit of first love, I'm talking about first love, you're going to walk in the Spirit, and you're going to obey the Spirit, and you're going to have access to the Spirit through Ezekiel. But listen to this one now. 13 and 2. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those through prophecy out of their own heart, hear the word of Yahweh. Now, did you catch that? Preachers that come along and tell you that we're no longer under Yahweh's laws, that we're not having to do that, or we're not subject to keeping Passover. Oh, no, we don't do that. Now, we take the crackers and the grape juice and And we do the Easter bit, Pastor Buddy, and we bake the hams on Sunday, glory to God. You know, they feel like that they're justified simply because they prophesy as the prophecy out of their own heart. But Yahweh said, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen or heard nothing. In other words, His word has no place in them. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. How are you going to prove that you pass from death to life when you lay around and all you want to do is tradition, hide Easter eggs and chase little silly bunnies around, going to churches that's got a steeple steeped in tradition? You know, I have got a spirit that wants to hear Yahweh's word, not a change word, but for a ever settled word in heaven with nothing added to it, nothing taken away. But the church has got so lax, laxodagial, you may say, or so convinced that they've done it this way for 100 years or 200 years. Let's say they've done it for 400 years. But they started it out with tradition, and they are still in tradition. Tradition will not replace the word of Yahweh, because He says in Ezekiel 13:2, hear the word of Yahweh and prophesy against the prophets of Israel. Now, I didn't say it is the prophets of the devil. It said prophets of Israel who would prophesy out of their own heart, change the word of Yahweh and have no effect by adding to or taking from, mostly taking from, and trying to justify it because they're flying away. Or they say, well, we've got the Spirit here. Everybody wants to get in a Spirit-filled church. You know what kind of a church that would be if it was Spirit-filled? An obedient church. Not a church that said, I know it said that, but we don't do that no more because our preacher said we didn't have to do that. And now we follow what the preacher said. If so-and-so didn't say it, if Sister So-and-so didn't say it, you Seventh-day Adventists that follow Miss White, you know, and it's her word against the Bible. Where in the Bible does it say that Saturday is the seventh day? It don't say it, but that's what Miss White said. Now, just because her name is White don't make her right. And just because you're white don't make you right. You've got to obey the word, and it's a promise, like in Galatians in chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to start heading towards Passover. You say, well, I've done kept it, Pastor, but I thank glory to God. I heard so-and-so, brother so-and-so, and he told us that Passover was last month. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a simple question. If Passover was last month, where did we all go to keep it at? Did we all load up on a boat, or did we get on a 747 and fly over to Israel, to where they used to keep it? Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that that lamb has been abandoned, never to return? As I read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, I will take my people away from here. 721 B.C. prophecy went out. This is the word of Yahweh, and yet the other preachers or the other prophets come in and say, well, now we keep the Passover with grape juice and crackers, and we keep it at Easter, or we keep it on the Gregorian calendar, ladies and gentlemen, to fulfill the spirit, you don't walk in the flesh. You don't have a carnal mind. You have a spiritual mind. And I have said this over and over and over. The greatest revelation in the Bible, outside of the name of Yahweh, is the revelation of the second Passover. And you say, well, why would it be so important, Pastor Buddy? Because the rituals of Passover teaches you so much about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the birthday of the Messiah, the time he died, the time he arose. All these are paramount to the progressive development of your soul as you are to grow in grace and knowledge. Walk in the Spirit. Now, before you can walk in the Spirit, you've got to hear what the Spirit says. And the only Passover, I can prove this, the only Passover that the Messiah died in was the second Passover. He could not have, he did not die in the first Passover. He had to die. Now, if you want to honor him with a revelation of remembrance. Now, remember, this is all about remembrance. This is observing. This is the fact that you're remembering him at the appointed time in the second Passover when you're scattered abroad. Walk in the Spirit. We got over here and we've learned the ways of the heathen. We got so far out of the Spirit, we don't know when the Spirit of truth comes because we're so far to the left or the right of the issue of the Spirit that even the Spirit cannot pierce the seared heart of the tradition or the ignorance or the superstition that is crept in the last days in the flesh realm, and to deny the truth of the Spirit of the second Passover is to make a serious mistake. We're going to begin Passover here in Reliance, Tennessee in a couple of days. A Thursday night, we will have an old-fashioned foot washing. Well, you say, well, I don't think we have to do that the more, Pastor Buddy. Now, that don't have a thing to do with Passover, glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not mocking or being facetious. Elijah mocked the ignorance and the fear and the superstition and the false doctrine of Jezebel and Ahab upon Mount Carmel. It would be permissible for me, in a mild manner setting, to tell you that these churches and these pastors that have got plumb out of the Spirit to walk over in the flesh, most of them have never been in the Spirit to start with. They will know the Spirit if it hit them in the middle of between the eyes with a tube before. That's how dense or fleshly minded that they are. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there are also false prophets among the people, even as there are false teachers among you. Beware, lest you be fooled with tradition and the voice of a prophet that's walking not in the Spirit, but in the flesh. It sounds good. It used to be that way. You know, the truths that were true for some other pastime, say, for instance, the first Passover. Now, if he didn't die in the first Passover, and I can prove he didn't, I can prove you he died in the second Passover, and you wanted to do a Passover in remembrance of him. Which one would you keep in the spirit? The flesh man would tell you, well, it don't really matter. It's not important. Well, if it's not important, I'm not going to do it. If I don't have to do it in remembrance of him, I ain't going to do it. I'll just forget him. If so be that it's permissible by the Spirit, but it's not. Why call me Yahweh and do not the things I say to do? So, let's come up to speed here. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's seek him while he can be found. Let's assemble and fail not to.
Well now, Pastor Buddy, glory to God, my preacher told me that Passover was 2 months ago. I remember Easter was back in March, if I remember right.
Well, you don't remember right. You're out of sync. Now, to synchronize your faith through the Spirit is meaning to get out of the flesh and not walk in the flesh. What about your wife? If she believes a lie, let her be damned. What about your daddy? If he believes a lie, let him be damned. What about your mother? If she believes a lie, let her be damned.
Well, now, Pastor Buddy, now you know better than that, Lord of God. You know that Yahweh ain't going to hold that against you. If you keep it at the wrong time, it don't really matter. Just so you do something to remember it.
Now, wait just a minute here. If the 14th day of the second month, now here we are, in a 13th month calendar for the lunar application. 13 months. Every 3 years, you will come to a cycle of 13 months. Now, that puts you in a 13th month position, and if you want to get technical about it, you come back and measure the time frame of the pregnancy of the woman who bared the Messiah, Miriam, into the world. Now do some addition. Get my CD. You ought to pay well to get it. This is some of the greatest revelated, manifested teaching on the planet. Not because I teach it, but because it was taught through the Spirit to me. And if you can't grasp, if this is outside your domain, and it's a spiritual teaching, that means that you're still in the flesh and you're still carnal. How are you going to ever grasp, or how are you ever going to hear without a preacher?
You say, well, I don't really need one. I can worship at home, Pastor Buddy.
I'll tell you one thing. And this is for sure. If you worship at home and you don't have no fellowship, you're of all men most miserable. Fail not to assemble. That means you make a sacrifice. That means you make a commitment. That means you hunt your brother. That means you assist your brother or your sister who are willing to put forth an effort and participate in a remembrance factor in a spiritual mode. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of an assembly anywhere in the continental United States of America that has as many Bible teachers assembled in a small gathering, a small group. Usually you'd be lucky if you had one teacher and he only knew a few things. We've got teachers in this group that not only do they know the spiritual walk, they can teach that spiritual walk and manifest it in a spiritual setting and will not fulfill the lust of the carnal mind when you come in. You're not going to be tormented with a fleshly mind. You're going to hear spiritual things that you wouldn't believe though a man declared it unto you. By spiritual people adapted to the Spirit to preach the Spirit instant and in season. false prophets, Peter said. You had them among, we had them among us. You're going to have them among you. But by covetousness and by the way of the truth will be blasphemed. Now, what's blasphemed? That means have presented. Presented in a way that seems right. There's always a commitment because, but many, he says, will deny our Messiah in remembrance. And what they'll do, they shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, what does that mean? Because they don't die. That means that the destruction is of the spiritual ability to perceive the truth. They can't grasp the truth because their spiritual understanding is void in their understanding. They're not willing to commit. They're not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to go the extra mile of the way. They're not really ready to give him 110% of their life. A sold out person, you don't have to worry about whether they're going to be at the feast. They'll be there. You can count on it. They've made preparations. They've made plans. But now let me show you something. I was talking to a sister here today. We was doing some work, and I was talking to her out here in the field where we were working. And I told her, I said, you watch Satan rear his ugly head in 99 ways to one when Passover comes up. He'll start a disturbance. He will have the animals get upset. He'll have your babies to get sick. He'll cause you or your bank account to overdraft. He'll cause you to go count your change and you don't have enough to get there. He'll do something to discourage you by whom the way of truth will bring the point of remembrance. The devil will bring something or some logistic problem that you can't get there, or some financial problem that you can't afford to get there, or some kind of a sickness, or some kind of a disease, or some kind of a lie that he's going to tell you. But listen to what the Bible said. They will follow their destructive ways, and by covetous words, they will exploit you with deceptive flesh tradition. But for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Before, if Yahweh did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, beware that he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of unrighteousness and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards should live unrighteously, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among those who tormented his righteous soul. Have you have a soul righteously tormented by the devil, especially when you want to come to the festival and he starts rearing his ugly head, giving you 99 reasons why you shouldn't? You sitting there knowing you should, and yet you ain't got enough gumption to kick the devil out of your way and tell him to get behind you and to resist him and to stick your thumb out if you have to hitch a ride. You'll get there. He ain't going to let you down. He's going to stand with you. If you're going to stand for him, he's going to stand by you. If you're going to let him down, you already let down, because if you don't love him, he certainly don't love you. You say, well, now, I know he does. I don't love him like I ought to, but I know he loves me. Oh, really? When you're a liar, he loves liars? when he loves slow, you're slowful, you're laying around, you making excuses, and you tell me he loves you? Get real. Come over to the reality of the judgment of the truth, that you not blaspheme his truth. If you don't love him, just admit it. If you ain't going to serve him, just admit it. Don't be a lukewarm hypocrite.
Well, I know I should go to the Passover, but I'm not sure about the second one.
Well, I've got $5,000 for anybody that can prove he died in the first one. And I have preached this for quite a while. And nobody's come and got my money. You say, well, I just prayed to confront you because you're so bullheaded. Oh, really? I am like David. Through his precepts, I get understanding, and I hate every false way. If you're going to bring me a false way, you're going to hear it from me. If you can't prove what you talk, you're going to hear it from me. I'm not slowful. I've studied. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've done my time. I paid the price. And I am going to stand as long as I can stand and escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh. And when the knowledge of the flesh or the works of the flesh comes back in front of me, I'm going to have enough knowledge in the Spirit to comprehend it and to recognize it and rebuke the foolishness of the flesh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have got, like I say, we've got teachers. We got women that know more scripture than most men that's pastoring church. And I'm saying that not to throw off on pastors that teach in church. But I'll tell you the truth. We have got sisters that's got boldness and understanding and conviction that they could make some of these church house preachers ashamed that are standing in the pulpits with a carnal understanding, spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Baal, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey. A dumb ass. Speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are nothing but wells without water. Can't prove what they teach. Teach it through tradition and a carnal concept, and have fallen into the pollutions of the world because they have denied the knowledge of Yahweh's word is forever settled with nothing being able to add to it and nothing taken from. So get up off your hiney and get on down here to Reliance, Tennessee. Stand up. If you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Why don't you fall for the truth every once in a while? It's going to make you free. It is, ladies and gentlemen, that we are to owe no man anything except to love one another, to love his word, to be men and women. To say, is that what the Bible says, Pastor Bud? Yes, sir, that's what the Bible says. Well, then I believe it, and that settles it. If you can read it, I believe it. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Well, now, I've not had the two wives, but, you know, I just don't know about that. I mean, you know, we fell out and we married, and my other wife, she married somebody else. Well, don't the Bible say that that's committing adultery? No, it don't. It sure don't. If that's the case, Moses had committed adultery. Abraham committed adultery. Jacob committed adultery. Cabal had more than one wife. Adultery is taking a bloodline of pure genetics. In this case, we hope it's Israel, an Israelite. And if you take that bloodline and transfer it over to someone that is not of the same blood, you adulterate the blood and you become guilty of causing a sinful reaction that can never be straightened out. All sins except adultery can be forgiven. You know why that adultery cannot be forgiven and why he's so hard on it? It's because when you mix your blood with another woman and you bring a half breed, you can never forgive. You will never get forgiven. That child will never get forgiveness. You could repent and pay for it. But that child that you brought into the world will never be able to overcome your adultery. That's why the Bible said every sin is done without the body except fornication. And if you commit fornication, you have done sin beyond your ability to repair the sin. You shall not murder. Didn't say you shouldn't kill. Now, repeat that. You shall not murder. I know men that would murder you. They would probably take a bullet from you before they'd murder you. But they'd kill you in a heartbeat if they had to. Now, you say, well, no, you ain't supposed to kill nobody. Moses did. David killed quite a few, and he had the Holy Ghost. War declared rightly. Murder is one thing that's preconceived against your brother. Killing your enemy is an honor. Now, we're over in Iraq. We don't condemn our soldiers when they come back. We should honor, although I don't approve of the war and what we're doing there, still yet I honor the man that stood under our flag and defended and kept it honorable and didn't let it fall to the ground. I served in the United States military myself. I didn't have the knowledge that I did. If I did, I'd have never gone in. I would have resisted. Because most of these wars are fought for the big defense contractors, the big international bankers. You shall not steal. These international bankers are stealing all of our wealth and taking it to the bank. You shall not bear false witness. If I can preach it out in the second Passover and prove it in, and you can't prove it out in the first one, which one would you want to keep to remember him by? See, it's that simple. These are so simplistic. Love ain't going to do no harm to your neighbor. It's summed up, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what does that mean? Who's your neighbor? You love Yahweh and you're going to have many of them. If you do still have a neighbor after he finds out you and Yahweh's name, you got you a neighbor. Show yourself friendly to gain friends. But better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. That's what he's talking about. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to identify the truth with your neighbor. Now, if he's still your neighbor, you got a friend. I would stay closer than a brother. But if not, then you're going to have an enemy, and it won't take long for you to either pull up your tent pegs and move on and separate yourself from every brother or neighbor that walketh disorderly. And it's time to wake out of sleep and to get salvation, for it is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in the revelry of drunkenness. Now, that's going to be spiritual drunkenness. Noah drunk the natural and got drunk. But he went to heaven. And so if you want to take a drink of whiskey or a drink of beer or a drink of wine and be a man, most people can't drink three drinks until they're King Kong. Or they have this Jekyll Hyde personality, and the first thing it leaps out after a drink or two is nothing but the devil. You can take a drink and be a man. You can take a drink and be a woman, as long as you've got Yahweh in you. Yahweh took a drink and he was a man. He took a drink and he kept the faith. He took a drink and he made the great leap into heaven. And he's waiting on you. Just be a man. Whatever you are, be a man. Don't let your wife rule over you. You're supposed to rule over her, and if she wears the breeches, you need to take them off of her and put her a dress on. You need to get out of the business of pleasing your wife and start pleasing Yahweh, or otherwise you can't be his disciple. You're going to, yeah, it's wonderful to love your wife and try to teach them and let them understand. Have patience with them. And wives that have contrary husbands, the Bible said, let it be the chaste conversation of your mouth. In other words, your witness, your walk, your commitment. That's how you win your husband over. If you've got the truth, he's going to recognize it. If you're a hypocrite, he'll recognize that. Likewise, you can recognize what she is. If she ain't nothing but a hussy and looking for attention, you're going to realize that. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, and walk upright. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, I've got to get this done. I've got to get that done. I ain't got time to come. I have a lot of brothers and sisters tell me they just can't afford it. And I'm going to say to those brothers and sisters that can't, what you need to do is start praying more. That Yahweh would provide for you the next, you'll start thinking about the next festival. Yahweh provide, make provisions, lay aside those things that you need to provide you 1 week in tabernacles. Now, in tabernacles, since we're here on the farm right here at Passover, you can bring your tent and sleep in a tent. It ain't going to cost you a thing. The food ain't going to cost you a thing. We're going to buy all of the food and feed you. You ain't going to starve to death. Might just have a bowl of soup. And a piece of flat bread. And a glass of water. But I'm telling you, to eat that with a fellowship and have the love and the good times that we've had, I mean, I look forward to my brothers and sisters coming. I can't wait to see and hug every one of them. If they went against the law, I'd break every bone in them when I hug them. Praise God, I love them so much. And it means so much to me to see the commitment and the honor that they have and the sacrifice that they've made. And I'm realizing that everybody that's going to come to this Passover has made a sacrifice. Sacrifice for finances. Sacrifice for time. A sacrifice for the automobile. Maybe it's not roadworthy as it should, and you come on faith. Oh, my, what a... Come on. Yahweh, he'll make it all right. Well, it's all right. All right, Yahweh's going to make it all right. It's all right. Yeah, all right. Yahweh's going to make it all right. Talk about me. Get down on your knees and Yahweh will make it all right. It's all right. It's all right. But the flesh lusts against the spirit. For the devil. devil will get in that old flesh, man, and I don't care how righteous you are. I don't care how committed you are. I don't care how satisfied you are. He will work on your flesh, man. The Spirit will give you one reason to come. The devil give you 99 not to. And then you begin to say, well, my God, who's right here? I ain't a-going. I've got 99 reasons not to go, and I can only think of one good reason why I should. That one reason why you should is written up in one word. Let me give it to you. Remember. Remember. Do this in remembrance of me. It's an honor. I'm going to stand with him. I ain't going to forgive him. I ain't going to let nobody turn me around. I'm going to press toward the mark and the high calling. Oh, yeah, not to the world. The world thinks I'm crazy. I get up and I wouldn't even qualify to preach in a 501(c) church. I don't have a settled preacher's license. But I guess I've got one thing that those 501(c) people have got. That's one word. Truth. And the truth is walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. See that? It's going to give you 99 reasons. It'll come through the best thing you love most of the time. It'll discourage you. It'll dishearten you. It'll break your spirit, your will. But if you'll tell the devil that he's a liar, I've told this before, but it's a commitment. I know a preacher that preached a long time ago. He's dead and gone now. He's done went on to meet his maker. He baptized a woman that got saved in his assembly. Now, this is back several years ago. She wanted to get baptized, and her husband was at home, jealous of her, didn't want her to go to church, jealous of somebody in church, I can't remember who it was, but somebody, had a spirit against the church, or at least everybody thought he did. And he sent word to the preacher that was going to have the baptizing. He said, preacher, if you baptize my wife, I'll kill you. Sure as there's a God in heaven. So it came time, here's the preacher, got a commitment, he's preached. Now he's got to walk the walk. Gets out in the water, and here she comes. Well, I bet he ain't see her coming. Because standing up on the hill with a man with a shotgun happened to be her husband. And just as soon as she started walking out in the water, he came down to the water's edge, cocked his double barrel, and started wading toward the preacher. He said, preacher, I said, if you baptize her, I'll kill you, and then I'll kill her. And he looked over at the fellow, and he said, brother, I don't know what your problem is, but she's committed to baptism, and on the confession of her faith, I'm going to baptize her. If she wants to. I would rather you not hurt her or not threaten her. We come in peace. I mean you no harm. I mean her no harm. But I'm going to baptize her if she wants to be baptized, and then you can go ahead and kill me if you want to. I just beg you not to kill her because she's made a sacrifice to get this far. And she was crying. So he said, well, I'm going to repeat it one more time for you. I'll kill you when you baptize her. He baptized her, and the old brother uncocked his shotgun, handed it to his wife after she got through shouting, and said, hold on to this, honey. And he said, now, preacher, I believe you got something below the collarbone. You can baptize me now. because I submit to baptism. And, boy, you talk about a meeting. It turned into a real nice revival. Faith and commitment. Whosoever, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Now, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. You cannot sin without transgressing the law. And every time you sin, you have broken the law. Now, how are you going to get around that?
Well, I ain't under it no more.
You just sin. That's the first sin. Saying you're not under it when the Bible says it's sin that gives you knowledge of the law. Or the law gives you knowledge of sin. Either way you want to look at it. And so, to keep the faith and to be fully persuaded and be committed and be obligated to remember Him in Passover, I want to see you here. And I don't know why that I've even bothered to ask you. But I am. For some reason. I'm just like the old preacher that was laying his life on the line with a cock shotgun to his head. I still want you to come. You may be threatened with life or death, or you may be threatened with finances, or you may be threatened with sickness and illness and things of this nature. Just tell the old devil, let it be my last one. If I'm going to die, I want it to be my last one in remembrance of Him. All things, let me say this, all things work to the good of them that love Yahweh and are called according to His purpose. You got a purpose? Are you called? Are you chosen? Galatians 5:19, I got to close it out here. Now the works of the flesh are evident, that these include adultery, fornication, I done spoke on those two, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, and everybody's involved in a little bit of that, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in the past, that those who practice these things to break Yahweh's laws will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them. I come to fulfill. You know what the word fulfill means? Obedience. You know what the royal law, to fulfill the royal law, to love your brother? Does that mean that you obey that one time and after that you don't have to obey it no more? You have to obey your brother 70 times, 7 a day, 490 times a day, even if he's sinned against you and he repents and you believe he's sincere and honest. Although he would sin against you 490 times a day, you gotta walk the line. All these things are committed to the laws of Yahweh. Let's remember Him. For sin shall not have dominion of you. Romans 6:14. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, if you fall back under the law is condemned just a sinner. If you're under grace, you're keeping Yahweh's laws. You're obedience to Him. You're fulfilling the royal law by assembling in remembrance. I'll see you there in Hallelujah Acres. Come on down and join us. We're here on the beautiful Hiwassee River. Bring your old tent and your old sleeping gear. The ladies will cook for you and wait on you. We got a good creek down here in the river you can take a bath in. Bring you some Fuller soap with you. And come on down. Praise y'all. We've got a water hose here we spray you off if you get a little sweaty, whatever. Got an old swimming hole over here, just about 100 yards from where we're going to have the old outside, old-fashioned tent meeting. Just like Yahweh started at Bethel, at Shiloh, in a tent. That's where we're going to start. In a tent. On the festival. Starting Thursday night for foot washing. Be here with us to join us in foot washing. We'd be glad to have you here. And join us on Passover Day. That's on Friday, especially. Those of you that can't get here for the foot washing, please get here for the Passover. Don't miss, that's the most important part. To participate, see the lamb killed, and hear the teaching and explanations of the metaphors and the analogies of the types and shadows of remembrance. And it's a wonderful thing to remember. We're sponsored tonight by Brother Mark out of the great state of Mississippi and Miss Audrey. They're having their own tabernacle, and they're keeping theirs there. But he cares enough for you. If you're in the Mississippi area and you're sincere and you'd like to keep it with a family in around Hattiesburg, Mississippi, give me a call. And we will see if you would be welcome there. I'm sure you would be. But if you're down that way and you'd like to come to an old-fashioned Passover, you can attend it with Brother Mark and Sister Audrey, and they have quite a few family members and brothers and sisters that'll be keeping it there in around Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So, and other people's going to be keeping it in other places. In Canada, we'll have brothers and sisters keeping it up there. And remembrance. So it'll be a remembrance factory to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love you tonight. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's 423-626-2172. Or tonight I'm live from Hallelujah Acres. Call me at Hallelujah Acres. Write this number down if you plan to attend. Call me. You don't have to call, but if you do call, we'll know that you're coming and we'll give you directions. That would be area code 423-338-1972. And if you want old-fashioned Bible teaching, nothing but the Bible, you can read it, put your finger on it. If you have any questions, we got deacons here. We've got elders that will be glad to assist you in questions answered. They'll take you out privately and give you a Bible a teaching and stay with you and spend as much time as they can with you if you'd like to come. You'll learn some Bible, I'll assure you, and you'll have a good time of fellowship. We'll treat you just like family because we love you. May Yahweh richly bless you in that regard. We'll see you. Looking forward to the remembrance of the spiritual walk in the name of Yahweh. We love you tonight. Many blessings to you on the radio network from Hallelujah Acres.